listening to WBAI in New York.
Vieron llegar mis hermanos emplumados, eran los hombres barbados de la profecía esperada. Se oyó la voz del monarca de que el Dios había llegado, y les abrimos la puerta por temor a lo ignorado. Iban montados en bestias como demonios del mal, iban con fuego en las manos y cubiertos de metal. Solo el valor de unos cuantos les opuso resistencia, y al mirar correr la sangre se llenaron de vergüenza, porque los dioses ni comen ni gozan con lo robado. Cuando nos dimos cuenta ya todo estaba acabado, y en ese error entregamos la grandeza del pasado, y en ese error nos quedamos 300 años esclavos. Se nos quedó el maleficio de brindar cultura, nuestro pan, nuestro dinero.
You muted, Lucy.
Yes, sorry. Thank you so much. Good afternoon to our listeners of Voices of Resistance at WBAI 99.5 FM, New York. The song you just heard, which is a beautiful song, is called La Maldición de Malinche, or Malinche's Curse, from the New Song Movement of Mexico, interpreted by Gabino Palomares and Amparo Ochoa. And that song actually tells the story of the arrival of the Spaniards, particularly Hernán Cortés, the occupation of Mexico, the ancient city of Tenochtitlan, which was the capital of the ancient Aztec civilization. Today is Sunday, September 10, 2023, and it is 12:02 p.m. My name is Lucy Pagoada Quesada. I am a teacher, as you know, and the official coordinator of the Libre Party, U.S., Canada, and Costa Rica. And the Libre Party is the political arm of the Honduran resistance, and it is coordinated in Honduras by President Manuel Zelaya, who were overthrown from power via a U.S.-backed coup in 2009 under the administration of President Barack Obama and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. President Joe Biden was the vice president then. One of the big news in Latin American and Caribbean, in the Caribbean spectrum, has been the election of the presidential candidates for the coming up presidential race in Mexico. And what makes this election unique is that both of the candidates, the one from the right and the one from the left, our candidate, Morena, they're both women. And so for the first time in the history of Mexico, we will have two women disputing the presidency of such an important country for Latin America. That's not to say that the other countries are not important, but Mexico, given our proximity to the United States and the fact that a great majority of our brothers and sisters here, Latinos, are from Mexico. And like so many Mexicans will say, it is not because the Mexicans cross the border. It is because the border crossed them. So it will be very interesting to see what type of campaign we will have, and how the people of Mexico will respond to this new phenomenon. The elections are next year. We will be paying close attention to how the process develops. And also this month, September 2023 marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Socialist President Salvador Allende in Chile in 1973. So we there's been a lot of events that have been planned, both in Latin America and here in the United States, to commemorate such an important date for the history of our continent. At the local level, I would like to congratulate the People's Forum, which celebrated its fifth anniversary yesterday, September 9th. And it was really beautiful, you know, to be back at the People's Forum, which is, to me, in my eyes, the most amazing place for the revolutionary movement in New York, but also because it welcomes revolutionaries from all over the United States, Latin America, Palestine, Iran, you know, Africa, Asia. It's all over the world that the People's Forum actually receives and hosts with so much love and so much warmth. And for that, the People's Forum has been a victim of a lot of attacks on the part of the reactionaries and the right-wingers and the, you know, the anti-revolutionaries here in New York City. So for them, boo. We'll always thank the People's Forum for existing and providing a safe space to struggle and to defend the human rights of all people as we work together to build a socialist society within the belly of the beast. And so going back to the important day that we are commemorating today, September 11, 2023, the Latin American September 11, the 50th anniversary of this brutal assassination of socialist president Salvador Allende in Chile, in, you know, this bloody U.S. back coup headed by the CIA. Thus, there are many events, as I said, being organized here in our very own neighborhood in Queens. There's going to be an event on Monday and many others that are being planned. And finally, as for New York, there is a lot of expectation about the 78th General Assembly of the United Nations, which will run from September 18th to the 26th. And we are expecting to see some of our great leaders from Latin America coming in and deliver their speech and maybe have an opportunity to shake their hands, give them a hug, and tell them how much we love them and appreciate them. Andrea, how are you doing? This was a very rainy morning in New York. And so how are you today, my dear? Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to be here. I'm back at school mode. We had lots of classes, big classes, challenging, but we're here. Voices of Resistance commemorating President Allende's 50th anniversary of his assassination. And yes, I want to echo your congratulations to the People's Forum in the anniversary, and to the leadership of our sister Claudia and De La Cruz and brother Manolo de los Santos. And it's really wonderful to see. It was good to be there yesterday and to see that the People's Forum is finally doing what all of us activists should have been doing a long time ago. They're bringing the youth in, and they're bringing the new movement in, and they're bringing new voices, and they're listening to them. So congratulations. Keep up the good work. Thank you to the Tricontinental Institute that works so, so hard in keeping, you know, People's Forum and organizations like them together. Also, it was very interesting yesterday because coming out of the People's Forum, I had a little sticker that said, defend Cuba. Someone came to me, you know, we were at the Hudson Yards and someone asked me, are you Cuban? And I'm like, no, but that's not a reason for me not to denounce the blockade that's 62 years old and criminal and hurting the Cuban people. And it was very interesting because of this place, right, Lucy, you were there with me. There's like very white, very, you know, upper caste. And here I am. I got up. And I noticed that I did that. I almost did a little speech on Cuba just because of the little sticker. And it's fun. It's fun to do that. You know, so my salute to the people of the Cuban mission here who are always in our program. And yes, we're looking forward to the General Assembly coming up. Lula is all over the world from Brazil and going to India, stopping in Cuba, and now he's finally going to come to New York. And yes, I hope I get to see him. And so we'll see. But let's get to our program. We have amazing guests and, you know, this very hard topic because in a day like today where, you know, I overlooked, my apartment looks over the original World Trade Center. I can see it and I can see the new World Trade Towers. So I know that the person that lived in my apartment before me saw 9/11, the New York 9/11. So my salute to those people and those that fell at that day. You know, it's still a mystery why, and, you know, we don't want more 9/11s to happen. And for that to stop, we need to stop interventionism. The U.S. has to keep the hands off other countries so the people don't get so angry that they react so poorly. That is my, you know, my hope for this country. Wars are not the solution. The solution is peace. And so my salute to all those that fell on 9/11, to their families. We feel your pain. We respect your pain. But as Latin Americans, we have been talking about a different 9/11 now for 50 years. And that was the assassination of Salvador Allende. Lucy?
Yes, a September 11th that is hardly ever talked about. And Andrea, before we move to continue with the program, I want to remind our listeners that beginning next week, we are going to be changing our schedule and we're going to be airing at 2 instead of our 12. But people will be notified of that, but we just want to make sure that they begin to prepare for that.
We're going to start to our original schedule.
Yeah, when we first started 5 years ago, it's like going back to the beginning. And so getting right onto our topic for today, we're going to be exploring U.S. imperialism and Latin America's first September 11, which happened in Chile in 1973. And to help us with our analysis, we have three very special guests, Madeline Hussman, Nefta Friedman, and Jamir Chabur. And we encourage our listeners, Andrea, to call in and to ask their questions or to make their comments. They can call 212-209-2877 to join the conversation. Always, you're here with us. I know you listen and because you tell us when you see us on the street, oh, your program was so good. I love that topic. I love that other topic. But don't be shy. You can call in 212-209-2877. And so we're going to start right away, Andrea. You want to start by bringing Madeline, then I'll bring Nefta, and then we'll bring Jamir, and we'll have a conversation all together.
Madeline Hoffman, our sister in struggle, directly from Colombia, right, Madeline? So,
yes.
Madeline is the president of the Comedia New Jersey Green Party Politicians.
Policy Committee. Policy.
Policy.
Policy Committee. Okay. Yeah, I'm not chair of a group of politicians.
No, Policy Committee.
Yeah.
And the Green Party Peace Association Committee, the GPACs. She's the professor of political science and resident of Cordoba, Indio, in Colombia. After more than 45 years of activism for the environment and peace in the United States, she went to Colombia to work with the good people over there. Welcome, Madeline.
Thank you, Andrea.
Lucy, Netfa?
Oh, yes. And I congratulate Madeline too on such a courageous decision, but so wise and amazing. One day we'll come to visit you, Madeline, at Quindío in Colombia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
please. Yes, please. Yeah,
it would be beautiful, right? We could do the program from there with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
on a finca, on a farm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. We could eat natural eggs and good milk, you know, farm raised animals, beautiful friends of humans, not enemies of humans. So, our compañero Netfa Freeman is the events coordinator of the Institute of Policy Studies, IPS, an organizer in Pan-African Community Action, PACA, and he's also on the coordinating committee of the Black Alliance for Peace, which is leading an effort to activate the popular movements in our region in support of the community of Latin American and Caribbean states, CELAC. In 2014, CELAC called to make the Americas a region of a zone of peace. NETFA is also co-host producer of the WPFW radio show and podcast Voices with Vision, which is, sounds very similar to Voices of Resistance. And I am very sure, because I recorded a podcast for my compañero NETFA, that yes, those voices that we hear in his podcast are voices with a lot of vision. Welcome, compañera NETFA. How are you? And what an honor it is to have you here, just like having Madeline as well. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy and Andrea. It's nice to be on. And your voice, certainly our tagline on Voices with Vision is not for the, it's called, we say, not for the politically faint of heart. And that commentary that you gave was that it fit. It helped us live up to our tagline.
And we have Jamir Shabour, who is, used to be more regular around here. We miss you, Jamir. Welcome back. He's a Colombian American born and raised in Queens. He has been involved in solidarity activism in social movements in Latin America, Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, Cuba. And he is involved in organizing the Colombian diaspora here in New York City. And he is in solidarity with marches in relation to the people's uprising in Colombia. He has been in delegations to Nicaragua and Venezuela and Cuba, and has been involved in grassroots media work in doing media analytical segments for Taylor Swift and Press TV. He's also a member of the Troika Collective, a revolutionary group here in New York City. So welcome to the three of you. Let's get started. You know, before we even go anywhere, NETFA, we talk about you and your work with CELAC and the peace. I see the assassination of Salvador Allende in 1973, much like other assassinations that happened throughout Latin America during the 60s and the 70s, as war demonstrations. Why is Allende's assassination relevant today, especially in relationship to the work you do as Black Alliance for Peace and CELAC, working with peace in Latin America?
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. That is a loaded question in terms of how long it would take to answer. But I mean, well, one of the things that Salvador Allende and also Unidad Popular, the UP party that they led in Chile. One of the things that it did was it proved that there are various means, because a lot of times we talk about those who say quote Malcolm X as saying by any means necessary for our liberation. And they're able to achieve a socialism through electoral means, which a lot of people didn't think could be done. And so I think it's also very important for us to know, because the way to do that wasn't just like they ran for election overnight and they won it. They were doing work on the ground. They were working with the people, grassroots people every day, and even trying to probably have programs. They had programs to mitigate the conditions that the people face, and also we're doing political education work and popular education campaigning work. And then also we know that it says something, and I don't want to cloud the issues here, but I think it also speaks to the yearning and the respect people have for socialism through vis-a-vis Cuba. The Cuban Revolution was very popular in Latin America, and then people in Chile understood and knew that Fidel Castro and Allende, they were friends, and it also impacted the credibility of UP in Chile. And then also I think it's relevant because in terms of the zone of peace, how you ask this question, I think it was very good in the sense that we, and the Black Alliance for Peace, we don't see peace as just the absence of tension or just some, it is a situation, a condition that we have to work for and achieve through popular struggle against all of the things that are impediment to peace, militarism, war, hyper exploitation, intervention in countries and things like that for the benefit of the global ruling class. And we see in Chile, particularly we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the coup, that the CIA and U.S., I see the U.S. is the major imperialist power in the world. It's not just the only one. We refer to the U.S., EU, NATO axis of domination. And the U.S. is the top dog, if you will, country or a government state that leads this. And that it was through Washington and Richard Nixon ordered the CIA to prevent Allende from assuming the presidency after they knew they were going to win. They were looking at the hands of the socialism is antithetical. They see it as from the interest of being able to exploit countries and exploit the masses. And they were ready to do anything. It didn't work that they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to prevent him from assuming the presidency, but they were. And like we've seen so many places around the world, Africa, everywhere. And like Lucy and her great commentary for Voices with our show, demonstrated that they will resort to assassinations and overthrows and coup d'etats. It's interesting in Africa right now, we see a string of coup d'etats that are actually embraced by the people, popular. And the first thing they say, oh, this is, undemocratic, overthrowing a democratic elected government, military coups. But then they've orchestrated coups all over the place. And then I don't want to get into Africa too much because it'll get right now because it'll get us off track. But we know that we can't define things like democracy, we can't define things like democracy or even in capitalism and socialism all through their lens. We have to define these things for ourselves, and we have to embrace popular movements, and that we have to look at whatever means we can to overthrow the yoke of exploitation of human beings by human beings and the planet.
Thank you for such a beautiful introduction, Brother Netfa. That was amazing. And also, we need to protect our popular leaders, compañero Nicolás Maduro, compañera Xiomara Castro, Lula, Cristina Kirchner, who was almost a victim of assassination too, because they go with the violence. They're the violence. They talk about we are aggressive. They're the violence. They're the ones that promote all that violence. So moving on, I will now come to compañera Madeline, and I will bring you here to the United States, Madeline, because I think you're like an amazing person to speak about that with all, your trajectory of political work in this country and pushing for socialism, because that's what we're all pushing for. One of these days, NAFTA, we want to have a program on how we are building socialism in the United States, because if we're going to overthrow this vile system, we need to talk about what are the alternatives, right? And we know that in Latin America, that's exactly what is happening. But Allende was doing it in 1973 in Chile. And Madeline, why was Allende essentially assassinator, and why did he represent social threat, quotation, to the United States, to the point where they killed him?
Well, in my read of things, Lucy, thank you for your introduction, and thank you for everything that's been said so far. In my read of things, it was about the resources. It was about Allende's desire, just as in so many other cases around the world, the desire of a democratically elected leader to have heaven forbid, use the resources of a country, of his or her own country, to help provide for the people of that country. And in this time, it was copper, one of the vital resources that people in the North, the politicians in the North, and the UK was part of it too. It was not just the United States, but the UK jumped on to protect, or how to say protect? No, to establish control over those resources. And it's very nervy of political leaders, say in Iran, like Mossadegh in 1953, to say that the resource rich countries have a right to keep those resources, the benefits of those resources within their own country. Venezuela with Hugo Chavez at this also, it was, and we hear echo, we heard we hear the same arguments today. Nicaragua, Cuba, you know, any Latin American country that's venturing towards socialism or leaning towards socialism, including Honduras and Colombia, where I'm living now. It's time for those people who want to have their hands on everything and claim it as their own, it's time for them to move into action. We could talk about Ukraine also, but we won't go there, just like we won't go into Africa. It's this feeling that of entitlement because of the colonialist mentality that somehow this oil belongs to us. It's under your sands, but it belongs to us. Or this copper, or this lithium, as they say in Bolivia, these vital, important resources. I don't know how many times I've used Eduardo Galeano as an example here, but in Open Veins of Latin America, he says it right at the very beginning. There's no reason for anybody in Latin America to be poor, to go hungry, to not have enough to eat, to not have clean water, because the area is so rich with all of that and with biodiversity. The only reason it's not is the veins are open and the colonial powers are pulling the blood out and using it for themselves. And I think Allende, you know, it wasn't the first. It wasn't the first coup d'etat in Latin America. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be the last. We've got, you know, Peru that people are looking at, and the campesinos and first suppliers are organizing to take back their government with Pedro Castillo. It won't be the last, but it's indicative of how the imperial powers handle the presence of natural resources and their disregard for the people who live in countries that have those resources.
Absolutely, Madeline. And what happens is also that we, in the people of Latin America, when you become autonomous, like a people, like the people of Cuba, or, you know, the people of Venezuela, they're there. They're an example of resistance. And what would the people here think if they see that the rich needs to be taxed, that more social services have to happen? And yes, there's not enough just for Latin America. There's enough food for the whole world. And the pandemic proved there. But in that regard, I want to bring Compañero Jamir in. And as Jamir, you know, in the situation as a youth here in New York, in activism, work with socialism, being in solidarity with so many nations, what is the relevance of Allende? And yes, there were coups before. Brazil was before. Argentina was before. There was a lot of torture. The difference was Allende was assassinated after being elected, right? And the other ones, people were forced to leave. People were forced to commit suicide. But back in the U.S., why is some example, like socialist Latin America, Cuba, Chile, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Brazil, why is that a threat to the United States? And what can we do to make sure people understand it is not? Jamir.
Yes. Thank you, Andrea. And saludos a Lucy. Thank you again for having me on the show. It's always great to be on WBAI 99.5. Like I used to say, back when I used to do the radio show for the 99%. And it's, you know, to respond to your question about the youth, I would like to start off with saying, you know, like this year is the 50th anniversary of the coup with Allende, but it's also the 50th anniversary of hip hop, like the creation of hip hop culture. And to tie them both together, I would like to say, like, my experience in the Bronx with this group, this hip hop group, Rebel Diaz, that they're the children of Chilean exiles that had to flee the Pinochet dictatorship. And, you know, learning from them, always teaching me about this history interconnected, because both histories are just a month apart from each other. Like, when we talk about, and it's very important for like youth to understand this, because when we talk about like systems like neoliberalism, you know, this coup brought the birth of neoliberalism worldwide. Chile was used as a laboratory experiment by Milton Friedman and the Chicago Boys to try to reinvent capitalism. That's, you know, neo means new. So they utilized, you know, they try to, they revised these ideas from Adam Smith for individual capitalism and create this whole illusion of democracy with the free market. You know, you have to allow the free market to dictate and to have less control from the state. And the state represents the will of the people, you know, the will of like el pueblo, the imagination, the creativity. Neoliberalism takes that away from, you know, the youth. And you have to imagine the amount of youth that their lives were like stolen back with this coup, with this coup d'etat. You know, one person that also comes to mind and his heroic sacrifice was the Chilean singer, Victor Jara, that was in the Star Soccer Stadium with the rest of the Allende supporters that were resisting the coup. And that, you know, they were slaughtered by Pinochet's soldiers. So I think, as a youth, as a Latin American youth born in the belly of the beast, it's very important to like always learn about this history, connect with the history in order to connect with this open veins. Like somebody mentioned about Eduardo Galeano, and is a way of like, remembering, like, you know, like tomorrow's 9/11 for like, the other tragedy that happened, you know, for the people that lost their lives due to, you know, this, attack that happened. But also for Latin Americans, you know, they say we never forget. We must never forget, you know, we must never forget like this history, in order to understand the present day and understand our, position in history, how we're part of a history of resistance and why we have to defend governments that are popular in Latin America, whether that's Xiomara Castro in Honduras, Lula in Brazil, Petro in Colombia. So this day is very, very, very important for a lot, for like the region, and especially the people of Chile.
Absolutely. You know, there's so much to unpack in all these conversations, and what comes through from the get-go is the unit. Everything happens together. Latin America and Africa are very united. The United States, Africa and Latin America are very united. So, you know, whatever we do, we're impacting others, and the responsibility that each individual has to take starts with voting and being responsible for the fellow brother and sister. You know, meritocracy and the Chicago Boys don't get a society anywhere. Coming back, you know, we want to come in and bring what Allende said right before he was assassinated. But before we do that, I wanted to invite our listeners to support WBAI. By going to givetowbai.org, givetowbai.org, and support us. A donation to WBAI, becoming a body of a program. You know, free speech radio is not free radio. So we need your support, our listeners. I also wanted to invite our listeners to call in the second half hour with questions, with comments. And before we do that, I wanted us to now bring Lucy. You know, Lucy did a lot of research in trying to identify Allende's speech in English, and that didn't pan out very well. So she decided to do it herself. So after, what's going to happen is that after three consecutive candidacies, Allende got elected. He initiated a series of reforms that including nationalizing the country's copper mines, extending the land reform beyond what Eduardo Frei did, and Pinochet carried out a coup right before he could go on. And when that happened, Allende said this. Lucy.
Yes. Absolutely, Andrea. It was very difficult to find a read in English of the speech. And so I said, So why not me do it? It's just the perfect timing. So here is President Salvador Allende's last speech on September 11, 1973, exactly 50 years ago, today, September 11, 2023. My fellow countrymen, surely this will be the last opportunity for me to address you. The Air Force has bombed the antennas of Radio Magallanes. My words do not have bitterness, but disappointment. May they be a moral punishment for those who betray their oath. Soldiers of Chile, titular commanders in chief, Admiral Merino, who has designated himself commander of the Navy, and Mr. Mendoza, the despicable general who only yesterday pledged his fidelity and loyalty to the government, and who also has appointed himself chief of the Carabineros, which is the paramilitary police of Chile. Given these facts, the only thing left for me is to say to workers, I am not going to resign. Placed in a historic transition, I will pay for loyalty to the people with my life. And I say to them that I am certain that the seeds which we have planted in the good conscience of thousands and thousands of Chileans will not be shriveled forever. They have force and will be able to dominate us, but social processes can be arrested by neither crime nor force. History is ours, and people make history. Workers of my country, I want to thank you for the loyalty that you always had, the confidence that you deposited in a man who was only an interpreter of greater yearnings for justice, who gave his word that he will respect the Constitution and the law, and did just that. At this definite moment, the last moment when I can address you, I wish you to take advantage of the lesson. Foreign capital, imperialism, together with the reaction, create a climate in which the armed forces broke their tradition, the tradition taught by General Snyder and reaffirmed by Commander Araya, victims of the same social sector who today are hoping with foreign assistance to reconquer the power to continue defending their profits and their privileges. I address you, above all, the maddest woman of our land, the campesina who believed in us, the mother who knew our concern for children. I address professionals of Chile, patriotic professionals who continue working against the sedition that was supported by professional associations, classes associations that also defended the advantage of capital society. I address the youth, those who sang and gave us their joy and their spirit of struggle. I address the man of Chile, the worker, the farmer, the intellectual, those who will be persecuted, because in our country, fascism has been already present for many hours. In terrorist attacks, blowing up the bridges, cutting the railroad tracks, destroying the oil and gas pipelines, in the face of the silence of those who had the obligation to act. They were committed. History will judge them. Surely, Radio Magallanes will be silenced, and the calm metal instruments of my voice will no longer reach you. It does not matter. You will continue hearing me. I will always be next to you. At least, my memory will be that of a man of dignity who was loyal to this country. The people must defend themselves, but they must not sacrifice themselves. The people must not let themselves be destroyed or riddled with bullets, but they cannot be humiliated either. Workers of my country, I have faith in Chile and its destiny. Other men will overcome this dark and bitter moment when treason seeks to prevail. Go forward knowing that sooner rather than later, the great avenues will open again and free men will walk through them to construct a better society. Long live Chile. Long live the people. Long live the workers. These are my last words, and I am certain that my sacrifice will not be in vain. I am certain that, at the very least, it will be a moral lesson that will punish felony, cowardice, and treason.
Long live Allende, long live socialism. That's all we can talk about. So, yes. So, you know, quickly, if I could get 1 minute reaction, starting with you, Netfa, then Madeline and Jamir. Russell, I know you're on the line. If you give us a minute, we'll come back to you right after we do this round.
You mean a reaction to?
To what Lucy just
read.
Allende's.
Well, the first thing that came to mind was the courage and the spirit. In other words, I mean, he knew he was, you know, about to die, but and used those moments and the opportunity to impart some wisdom and inspiration to the people and make people so that people didn't feel like everything was lost and that the struggle was going to continue. And I often, you know, a lot of our freedom fighters are martyrs, if you will, you know, because I don't know what it's like to know you're facing your own impending, you know, demise from criminals against humanity. And whether I would have the wherewithal to, and I guess maybe in the moment you do it, but it just demonstrated that the integrity of a person who was living, you know, his life was dedicated to humanity at that point. Not at that point, it was period. And that in the demise, the last thing he thought of was like, how do I, you know, say something that's going to keep the people's spirits.
And continue to echo. Madeline? And
continue now.
There are so many echoes, using that word echo. There's so many echoes with what's happening today. I mean, he knew exactly why he was going to be assassinated. He knew exactly the people who had helped him to get into office and who were going to be affected by the coup. He talked about the campesinos. He talked about the youth. He talked about the oil. He talked about the natural resources. He talked about the money and the finances and the capitalists. I mean, he talked about everyone. And I just had shivers up and down my spine. And when Lucy read it with her usual passion and flair for speeches like that, and, you know, it's just that too many, unfortunately, there are too many people like him, you know, who have been shot and assassinated, speaking up for what they believed in passionately and for dignity of people, the dignity of people. It should be the opposite. I mean, the people who should be out of the picture are those who only value the dollar and don't value the dignity of people. And I hope, Lucy, you could share your translation with me, because I would like to publicize it tomorrow or today, because it really, really is a moving and impassioned speech. Thank you.
Amir.
Yeah, no, it was very moving. I really felt like, you know, as a youth, it felt like an intergenerational connection. Just to think about the amount of youth in Chile, also throughout the continent, Latin America, that were affected by this coup, because it was a coup against democracy, against, you know, popular power, which imposed fascism. You know, I always think like, neoliberalism, the creation of neoliberalism is through fascism. But, you know, when I think about like documentaries about Allende, there's some documentaries that may come out to be like a coward in the sense that they say that he killed himself after saying that speech. I've spoken to some Chileans about it, but in reality, you know, he stayed in the palace, you know, to defend the constitution, to defend his beliefs. Even though, yes, he knew he was going to die. He knew it was impossible. Because Pinochet, was able to convince the military to flip on him. And he stayed in the palace to resist and to ensure that, his Chilean people, know that he was going to defend their vision and understand he would plant the seeds of resistance, as we see, you know, what would come later, you know, we see like the resistance from El Mir, you know, the revolutionary leftist movement of Chile, and also like, you know, hip hop groups like Rebel Diaz, and then other Latin American presidents that will come and be influenced, like Hugo Chavez, Evo Morales, and Gustavo Petro in Colombia. I remember Gustavo Petro talking about how that coup really affected him in his youth. And it was very awesome when he was in Colombia, and he gave a tear, you know, a tear of like, that was a tear that he gave for the youth that were killed, like that were slaughtered from a generation. But that's why, it's very important that we lift Allende's memory, and we always don't forget his words about how the people, how we, you know, control history. You know, that's why we have to reclaim Allende, because he's part of our history, the people's history.
Connecting to our program, you know, we've been denouncing the 200 year of this moral doctrine. And, you know, there was a very similar incident in Brazil in 1937. And there was Getúlio Vargas with, like, Lula, someone that got elected multiple times. And he was someone that was creating the Brazilian enterprise, Petrobras, that people fight so much over. Getúlio also was led to commit suicide in the presidential palace because he was creating workers' rights, you know, making state-owned corporations like Petrobras, Embraer, you know, and people didn't like that. But we have a listener, and we want to say hello. Russell, we haven't heard from you in a while. Welcome to our show. Please take 1 minute. What's your question or comment?
Thank you, Lucy, and I'll try and be quick. You know, exploitation of other human beings, that's capitalism, but capitalism is a trick bag. And I see what's going on with Bidenomics, alluring people to come here to take the lowest wage jobs that affect black and brown workers the most. They're draining brave young people from all over the globe to counter the inflationary wage price spirals. They're going to lower the prime rate. We should be welcoming people here. But what I want to ask you, do you see this open borders policy as an exploitation of human beings for our benefit here in the United States? They're being made to suffer. And I want to thank the young man for being explicit about Salvador Allende. He was a martyr. But to say he was assassinated is not right quick. I'd really like to ask you, do progressives have to progress? Do we recognize that a socialist leader in Central America like Allende, he wouldn't be treated like this anymore. He'd be treated differently. In fact, he would be handled in an underhanded way, kind of like disqualifying a candidate that a lot of people want to vote for. Thanks a lot for hearing me out.
Well, that has happened. They overthrew Dilma. They wanted to take care
of Zelaya and President Zelaya
and Rafael Correa.
Castillo in Peru. It's happening. It's an ongoing thing. And because it's an ongoing thing, I'm sorry, Andrea, that I just jumped in. But, you know, why am I so moved by Allende and the history? It's because we just had a recent bloody history like that in Honduras in 2009 that we're still not over, because the threat of the reactionary U.S.-backed right-wingers in Honduras, which now are narco-traffickers too, because this government supports narco-traffickers that are willing to do the dirty job for them in our countries. So, you know, this is why for us denouncing what is going on and remembering the history, because it's not a thing of today. And I personally, I'm a victim of that directly. My family, my friends, we lost so many people like Berta Cáceres, great leaders of our movements all over, you know, that were impacting the world because they were saving the water, because they were protecting the rivers. And for capitalism, if someone steps up to protect the water, they don't want the water for the people. They want the water so they could sell it to us. And water is a common resource. It's not a commonality like Wall Street says. No, it's a human right for everyone. And we should not be, you know, giving up our rivers to the transnationals. And they're willing to kill people to do that, just like Allende, just like Berta, you know. So we have to be on the guard for this. And the whole issue of why we today are facing a so-called migrant crisis, that's another conversation that has a lot of political ties of what the United States is doing in our country to create an exodus of the people, displacement of the people. And that is created too, just like in Chile, they said, you know, Kissinger said, we're going to make the economy scream. That's exactly what they're doing with sanctions and with economic blockades and asphyxiating people so that they can no longer live in their own countries. So we have to have a conversation about who's behind that, not just feel sorry for these people, but talk about who's behind creating these conditions of misery for these newly arrived, you know, people from Latin America.
And there's one other element, which is the brain harvest. They go in places like Brazil, Cuba, Venezuela. They go into the Chile. They go into the universities, and they take the brightest brains to teach here, to work for the corporation here, right? Mm-hmm. And the kids stay back. They have this dream of coming and getting rich and doing this. Propaganda is there. Propaganda is alive and well. And this propaganda makes people up and go with their small kids and cross miles and miles and miles and miles of land, you know, going through amazing, disgusting, horrible, good, all the weathers possible together to get here, pursuing a dream. To what? Of consumption? We look at garbage in this country. I just came back from Brazil. If I put a plate of food on the street, people, more than one person comes to it immediately. If we walk in New York City, we see so much food thrown away. People would rather throw things away than save it for their fellow man. This needs to change. This needs to change. So we need to come back. We're like almost at the end of the show. It's like, it goes so fast. So let's think about Allende's message, mission, his assassination, the world today, and think, what can we do? What can we learn so that other 9/11s won't be happening again? You know, the 9/11 here in New York, the 9/11 in Chile 50 years ago. What can our listeners, what can people do? Netfa, what are you guys doing with Black Alliance for Peace? What else can be done? How can we come together?
So,
Andrea, I'm sorry. Before Netfa answers, I just want to send greetings to our compañero, singer, revolutionary singer, Neri Olivares, who is in Washington Heights, listening to us. So greetings to him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hola, Neri.
So three things real quick. The first one, I just have to greet my brother, comrade Yamir. We spent time in Cuba together, so we got a, you know, history, and to publicly greet him and thank you. It's good to hear from you and good to hear you keeping it sharp as a young man. I have two things, other things. One, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Institute for Policy Studies and our direct relationship to this situation in Chile. Orlando Letelier, who is the ambassador that Allende appointed, was also assassinated 3 years after after the coup, and in the United States, in Washington, D.C., where I am. And Orlando Letelier was also a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. He was assassinated along with the intern Ronnie Carper Moffat. And so we have this a slew right now, because it's the 50th anniversary, a number of events that we're doing, and people should check us out at the Institute, IPS-DC.org/events, and we have something Todas Las Manos. It's an art exhibit by Francisco Letelier, who's the son of Orlando, and it's in the Martin Luther King Jr. Library. There's a number of things, an event around it, the Sheridan Circle where he was, where they were assassinated. We have a ceremony every time. That's on the September 23rd, and also with the Black Alliance for Peace, and this is kind of brings them. We have the Zone of Peace, which we're trying to build the popular movement that was the call for CELAC, which is CELAC are the states, but we were saying, well, we need to build this popular movement. And so people should check the Zone of Peace out, blackalliancefor peace.com/zoneofpeace, and coming together, both IPS and Black Alliance for Peace and some others are hosting Prospects for Normalization of U.S.-Cuba Relations on September 12th. That's this coming Tuesday at the Institute for Policy Studies, where we're hosting a dialogue with Cuban Deputy Foreign Minister Carlos Fernandez de Cosillo, and he's going to be at IPS. And it's both a hybrid participation, so you can get information about that on IPS website. Scroll all the way down to the bottom with the events, and you can figure out how to participate online or come in person.
I'll put the link on our website. Madeline, 1 minute, please.
I will try. I will try very hard. I would say to anybody who lives in the United States and anywhere in the world, I never would have said this before 4 years ago when my first visit to Colombia, but I think, and it may sound insignificant, but in reality it isn't. Please, let's not say that those of us who live in the United States come from America, because that is part of what contributes to the hegemony of the U.S. in regard to Latin America and the rest of the world. But I don't know how many times I hear it every day, or I heard it when I came back to the U.S., how many times I still hear it, even in Colombia, from U.S. commentators. We have to understand that everyone, North America, Central America, South America, we're all part of the Americas. And if we do that, then we understand the connections between ourselves and the people of Latin America. And that's, to me, a very important step towards resolving this problem.
Jamir, quickly, quickly, because we are out of time.
Gotcha, gotcha. No, you know, it's important to always recognize the spirit of Salvador Allende. I can't wait for tomorrow for the events happening, commemorating the 50th anniversary of Allende. There's one event happening in Queens in Jackson Heights at 3 o'clock, by 94th, where they're going to start at 94th and 34th Avenue and march to 74th. And the second, which is being organized by the Chilean community here in New York City, is going to be at 5 p.m. in Union Square, being spearheaded by my brother Rodrigo Stars from Rebel Diaz. Yes, it's very important to always recognize this history of resistance. You know, like my brother Rebel Diaz always says, you gotta confront history of oppression with moments of resistance. So long live Allende, long live Victor Jara and the people of Chile.
Wow, it's almost that that's the final word of our program.
And Neruda, Neruda too.
And so I want to say thank you to Linda Perry, to Bertha Reimers, of course to you, our show Rhodes, to our listeners. Next week, we are back at 2 o'clock. And until then, we resist. Thank you, everyone.
Soy güey del puro, cinco siglos resistiendo el atropello y el abuso. El avión ya la reflorece junto al alba.
Hello, my name is Jack DePalma, and I'm a candidate for the WBAI LSD election, being run in 2023. I want WBAI to thrive. I want WBAI to increase in listenership, and I want WBAI to be able to pay its bills. It's important that we in New York City keep financial stability and financial security, includes the fact that we pay our own bills within our means, and we increase our support amongst listeners and supporters. Thank you very much. Please put me on the ranking in the election. Thank you very much. Jack DePalma for the LSD listener candidate.
Greetings, WBAI listeners. I'm Gloria Guillo and thrilled to be a candidate for WBAI's governing board. I believe public access radio is our best defense against internet censorship, corporate capture, and political and socioeconomic tyranny. As a retired New York City urban planner and public administrator with an expertise in budgeting and finance, I believe I have the skill set and experience necessary to truly assist WBAI as a board member. As an aside, I'm also a founding member of Green Renaissance Sovereign Rights Movement and a journalist focused on the negative impact of U.S. foreign policy on developing countries. And I'm a former singer, guitarist, songwriter with the political rock band Ringmaster. Thanks for listening. Hope to get your vote. All the best. Gloria Guillo.
Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, former staff member, former community advisory board member, Pacifica Fightback member, running for re-election to the local station board to prevent Pacifica being overtaken by the New Day Visigoths, who seized the station for a month in October 2019, turning it into a California repeater station. Let's keep WBAI open to anti-war voices at 99.5 FM and follow the bylaws scrupulously. I see myself as a conduit representing you. When listeners ask me to bring something up to the LSB, I try to. I invite your input. Send your questions and suggestions to eefwww@yahoo.com with the subject in all capital letters. Please vote for me and for Pacifica Fight Back endorsed Serene Roberts, Joan DiLorenzo, and Alejandrina Murphy so we can enact constructive policies. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
I'm Adrienne Mizells, running for a seat on WBAI's local station board. My family and I started listening to WBAI when I was 9 years old, and it's had a transformative impact on our lives. So I want to give back, and I believe that this station needs fresh, young blood to do things differently. I'm the candidate to do that.